Hello there, and welcome to the No BS Fitness Podcast, Season 2, Episode 1, with me, Robert Lee, from RR Fitness. Now, the No BS Fitness Podcast is all about cutting through all of the BS and the nonsense that exists in the fitness industry and making it simple and easy for you to understand how you can increase your fitness levels, how you can lose weight, how you can become healthier, and just generally helping you to make better decisions around your diet and what you do from an exercise perspective. Just wanted to quickly say thank you so much for the feedback I had on the last episode. And it is really great to be back recording this podcast again after such a long hiatus. It is now available on YouTube to watch, as well as on Spotify, iTunes, etc. So it's on pretty much all the major podcast platforms. Hopefully the video quality, if you're watching this on YouTube, is a little bit better this week, as I've figured out a way that I can use my iPhone as a webcam to record this rather than the built-in webcam on my laptop, which is years old now. The quality should be a little bit better as I'm recording this over Zoom, and I'm using my iPhone camera as the webcam, which is a much better quality as well. So anyway, I'm going to get straight to the point. In this week's episode, I thought I would talk about something that's been doing the rounds in the fitness social media sphere, and that is the fact that the calories are now on menus in restaurants. And this is a policy that's been recently introduced as of quite recently, I think. I think it was sort of from towards the end of April, start of this month, maybe, that this policy has actually been introduced. Effectively, what this policy is that restaurants that have 250 or more staff must include the calorie information on the restaurant menus. And this is a policy that the UK government has brought in an attempt to try and reduce obesity, because currently 2/3 of adults in England are considered overweight or obese. So effectively, what they're trying to do is, by putting the calories on the menus, they're hoping that people are going to make better decisions. They're not going to overconsume as much, and therefore it's going to have a positive impact on the levels of obesity in the UK. So what I thought I'd do is I'd break down, kind of what my thoughts are, what the scientific research says, look at the pros, look at the cons, and kind of explain from both sides so that you can then make an opinion yourselves based on what the facts say and what my personal opinion and my experience is as a coach as to what the pros and cons of this are. So starting with the pros, by putting the calories on the menu, it is going to allow you to make a much more informed decision about what you are eating. You know, you're going to know that beforehand, you can look at the menu, you can see what calories are on there, and you can make a decision for yourself as to whether you want to indulge a bit and have something that's maybe a bit more calorific, or if you've maybe got a holiday coming up, or you're just really trying to be good at the moment, you can then go for something that's a bit lower in calories and potentially fits into your daily calorie target a little bit better. On the government website and on news articles, they keep going on about this 2,000 calories a day for women, 2,500 for men, which is kind of just like a generic figure that has been thrown around for years and years. But the reality is most people will not be on anywhere near that. Some men will be on a lot more than that. Some men will be on a lot less than that. Some women will be on 2,000 calories. Some women will be on a lot less than that. Generally, my experience with a lot of women is they tend to be a bit lower, purely because they're usually not as tall and they don't weigh as much as what men do and don't have as much muscle. So therefore, they don't need as many calories. So as I say, this is going to help you to make a much more informed decision about what you're eating. It allows you to pick, kind of lower calorie options. The other advantage this has, if you're someone like me and, many of my clients who is tracking your calories using something like MyFitnessPal or NutriCheck, or a different app, there is lots of different ones available. It's going to allow you to track your calories much more accurately. So there's going to be much less, margin for error, because one of the issues with MyFitnessPal in particular is that anybody can submit the calorie information to it. And not all of the entries are necessarily verified, which means that some entries have been put in, inaccurately. Whereas if the calories are on the menu, you can then compare that back to MyFitnessPal. And you know in your head that you have calculated the calories correctly. And therefore, it is going to be a much more accurately tracked meal. And as so that is definitely a very big benefit. Tracking your calories is definitely a very, very good way to improve your overall health. It's a good way to improve your eating habits. And it's definitely a very good way to lose weight. It's something that I do whenever I'm looking to lose a bit of weight. I will nearly always re-download MyFitnessPal, start tracking my calories again. And then I know that if I'm consistent with this and I'm doing exercise as well, I'm going to lose weight. In terms of what the research says, I did have a quick look to see, you know, was there any journals in relation to, you know, tracking the calories that would support this decision with, you know, putting the calories on the menu. And I also wanted to see if there was anything to the contrary that said it was a bad idea too. But in terms of the positive research I found, generally tracking calories is a good way to improve your health. Using weight loss and diet apps can produce clinically significant weight loss. And that came from Michelle Patel et al. And it was from February 2019. And I found that on PubMed. It can also work well with other dietary methods as well. So other when you start tracking calories and then you combine that with other dietary methods, it definitely can work well. So to summarize the pros, as I said, it definitely is going to help people to make a more informed decision about what they are eating, because, you know, they can see that actually some food contains a lot more calories than what they thought it did. And I know I've definitely found this since I've been to restaurants that contain, you know, calories on the menu. Like the one thing that shocked me recently was chicken katsu curry. Chicken katsu curry is like 900 plus calories. And that was what I'd always get when I went to Wagamama's. So I went and got something different. I think I went for a ramen, chicken ramen broth instead, because that was like a fraction of the calories that were in a chicken katsu curry. So it definitely is going to help people to make better choices, more informed decisions, and it's going to make it a lot easier for you to track your calories accurately. And as I said, tracking calories is definitely a good way to improve your eating habits. It's a good way to lose weight, and it's a good way to increase your overall health. And there has been a lot of research that shows that using weight loss and diet apps can produce clinically significant weight loss, and it works well in conjunction with other methods. So that is the pros. We're now going to talk through what the cons are of having the calories on the menu, because there has been a lot of criticism of this decision to include the calories on menus, particularly from the kind of eating disorder crowd and from eating disorder charities. So in terms of the main con is that it can potentially be harmful for people who have suffered from or are currently suffering from eating disorders, in particular, you know, things like, you know, anorexia, bulimia, and binge eating disorder, all of those kind of things. So, you know, it could potentially lead to restriction of calories for people with anorexia or bulimia sufferers. It could increase feelings of guilt among those who have binge eating disorder, where, you know, they can uncontrollably eat food. And then when they realize how many calories are in there, they're going to feel really guilty, and it's going to send them down into this downward spiral of depression. And it's going to lead to them then again turning to food to, you know, cope with those negative feelings of guilt. Generally, that tends to be the main downside to this, is that it's potentially triggering for people with eating disorders, and it's potentially going to cause, you know, relapses, it's going to cause feelings of guilt, etc. And I did look into this to see as well if there was any research in relation to using things like MyFitnessPal and eating disorders. And I'll just read you quickly what I've found. So there was a study that looked at my fitness power usage among eating disorder sufferers from Kerry Levison et al. 2017. And they looked at whether using these apps like MyFitnessPal contributed to eating disorders. And what they found was that 73% of participants used MyFitnessPal, and 73% of those people said that it somewhat contributed to their eating disorder. And then 30% of people said it very much was a contributing factor to their eating disorder. So there is some research that shows that potentially using things like MyFitnessPal and tracking your calories and having calories on the menu could potentially contribute to eating disorders and could potentially have a negative effect there. The main limitation with this study was that it was very much retrospective look, and it was based on self-reported data. So there is definitely going to be some margin of error there. So as you can see, there is pros to this decision and there is cons. It very much does depend on you as a person and you and your personal experience, whether you've got an eating disorder. What I would suggest you do in that situation, if you are an eating disorder sufferer, a lot of people and a lot of the, you know, restaurants have come forward to say that if you ask the staff, they do have an alternative menu they can give you that does have the calorie information removed. So it's always worth asking the staff if that's something they can do. Something else you could always do is if you're there with a friend, you could ask the friend to take a picture of the menu and then scribble out quickly what the calorie information is. I've even seen on social media stories about staff going through the menu with like a Sharpie pen and quickly scribbling it out for people before they give them the menu, if people have said they're uncomfortable at the idea of the calories being on the menu. And it is just accepting that, like, going out for a meal is an occasional treat. You know, it's not necessarily, if it's not something you're doing every day, the fact that there's going to be a lot of calories in the food, just accepting that fact and then making sure the rest of your week that, you know, you generally eat good, you're doing plenty of exercise, and it won't really have too much of a knock-on effect on you, really. And, you know, you shouldn't feel guilty for enjoying food. Something else that does need to be discussed in this whole situation is the fact that a lot of restaurants, the food is ridiculously high in calories. You know, it's usually because they cook it in lots of oil. They use lots of fat. They use lots of, like, you know, really butter and stuff like that to make it taste nicer, which then does result in the calories being a lot higher. Things like cheese as well. They put loads of cheese in it. And I think this does need to open up a discussion around how restaurants can potentially bring down the amount of calories that's in their food while still keeping it tasty. Because when I'm at home, like, I follow a lot of recipes from kind of like slimming cookbooks, stuff like Slimming Foodie, Pinch of Nom, Two Chubby Cubs. And they have some really nice food in those books. But what they've also done is, you know, they've done things like using low fat cheese and using less oil, you know, making sure it's got loads of veg in it so that it is less calories, but it's still tasty. So I think restaurants should definitely be looking at how can they reduce the amount of calories that's in their food while still keeping it tasty. And I think this is definitely something that needs to be spoken about. And it's definitely something I've realized is quite how calorific restaurant food is. Now, I know it's a treat and it's meant to be something that you do on an occasional basis and something that, you know, is, you know, a bit of a treat and not something you do every day of the week, unless you're maybe traveling for work. But it's definitely something to talk about, and it's definitely something that I think restaurants need to start doing, is looking at ways they can make the food healthier and, you know, less calorie dense. Because when I'm cooking at home, like I say, there's ways I can do it at home, and I don't see why restaurants can't do the same too. So that's kind of it, really. I hope you've enjoyed that, and I hope you found that helpful. And I hope that's kind of got you to feel a bit more reassured about the calories on the menu thing and given you a bit of an insight into what the pros of that are and what some of the cons of this move is. If you found that helpful, don't forget to subscribe and follow the podcast on your favorite platform. If you could leave a rating as well, that really helps the podcast to be discovered by more people. And if you could share this on socials, particularly things like Instagram stories as well, tag me in it as well. I'm at @arlie_fitness on most things. It really helps the podcast to be discovered by more people. As I said, I always love to hear your feedback and your comments on the podcast. If there is anything you'd like me to cover in future podcasts, make sure to let me know. Otherwise, thank you for listening, and I will be back soon with another episode.